Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I'm actually going to be pulling in one of our Bible on Business series that has been one of my favorite episodes from this year, and it's all about holy boldness. If any of you feel called to something that feels scary, you may be a bit timid as to whatever the Lord is calling you to in this season, this is an episode for you. Even if you heard this way back when it was posted initially, still let the episode play, because I believe that with you listening to it for a different time in a different season or a different space, the Lord will reveal something different to you. So without further ado, I pray that this blesses you for the first time or blesses you again. This is one of my favorite Bible on Business episodes from this year. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Happy April. This is a new month. It's springtime. We had some good weather in the DC area over the last few days. I'm feeling good. I got some vitamin D. I feel good. My allergies trying to take me out, but I feel really, really good. And I pray that you guys feel good as well. And that as we enter into a new month, a new quarter, that you all have a renewed spirit, a renewed mind, and you are waiting in expectation of what the Lord has for you and rejoicing in all that He's doing in your life. I'm excited for this episode for us to hop back into our Bible on Business series. For those of you who are new here, we started this series last year because the Lord gave me this revelation that so many entrepreneurs in particular don't really understand, that a lot of the practical business applications that they're looking for in the books and the courses and the videos and the podcasts can be found directly in the Word. We have this emergence of Christian entrepreneurship, but it's more so like I'm adding scripture to my delivery bags, or I'm talking about the Lord on my content. But Christian entrepreneurship and making God the CEO is really about having a business, being a leader, and operating in such a way to where you're yielded to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're dependent on the Holy Spirit, and that you build your business with kingdom principles and not the world's way, as tempting as it may be. And a big part of building a business God's way is using God's word as the foundation of how you operate. So through our Bible on Business series, we have been exploring all of the different ways that the Bible touches on topics that are relevant to us as entrepreneurs. This year, we've been in the book of Acts discussing leadership in particular and exploring all of the ways in which the Acts of the Apostles are relevant to us as entrepreneurs, as leaders in our own right. In today's episode in particular, we're going to continue into Acts. Our anchored scripture is going to be Acts 4, 13 through 22. And the title of today's episode is The Power of Holy Boldness in Business. Boldness is required on our Christian walk, and it is definitely required on our Christian entrepreneurship journey, because we're disrupting systems. We're doing things that are different than how the people who are more traditional in the marketplace are doing things. We are making decisions that may seem crazy to other people. So there is a boldness that is required for us to live this life, and I want us to explore that in this episode. Before we can get anywhere, we have to get some definitions done. I like to define things so that we are all clear on what boldness means and we're not operating on assumption. If I can define boldness, I would define it as a spirit-empowered courage to speak and act in alignment with God's will without fear of opposition, rejection, or consequence. Let me define it one more time. Boldness is a spirit, Holy Spirit, to be clear, empowered courage to speak and act in alignment with God's will without fear of opposition, rejection, or consequences. To dive a little bit deeper, the Greek root word for boldness is paresia. This word appears throughout the New Testament, and it could often be translated as boldness, confidence, freedom of speech, unreservedness in speaking. It carries the idea of speaking openly, plainly, and truthfully, speaking without ambiguity or fear, and is rooted in trust in God, not self. And this word appears multiple times in the Bible. It appears in Acts 4:13, which we'll talk more about in this episode, which says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were astonished." And in this text, it's talking about Peter and John speaking clearly and courageously. And they weren't speaking that way because of education or status, but because they had been with Jesus. Now, let's put a pin in this because we're going to dive deeper into this as our anchor text anyway. But this Greek word for boldness could also be found in Ephesians 3:12, which says, "In him and through faith in him, we can approach God with paresia," meaning in this context, freedom and confidence. So boldness is not just about our relationship with God, but it's about coming before him without shame or fear. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace and boldness so that we may receive mercy." So again, biblical boldness, it gives us this sense of access, not arrogance. And we're going to talk about how pride and ego a lot of times can be mistaken for boldness. But biblical boldness, it gives us access, not arrogance. It's grounded and rooted in grace. So now that we're clear about what boldness is, let's go to our text. Our anchor text for today, again, is Acts 4:13 through 22. Now, to give a little context about where we're at in the text, back in Acts 3, Peter and John, they healed a man that was lame from the day he was born. They healed him at the temple gate and they called him beautiful. So they did this miraculous healing and this miracle. It draws a crowd. And of course, here comes Peter, who we have learned up until this point has this renewed sense of boldness based upon his time with the Lord. He takes this as a perfect opportunity to preach to the crowd, to preach to them about Jesus and the resurrection. So, of course, Sadducees being Sadducees, they were not happy about it. They were disturbed by his preaching and especially about the resurrection. Like, they were not trying to hear that. And so because of that, Peter and John were arrested and they were brought before the Jewish council to be questioned for what they were saying. So let's pick up here at verse 13. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." That'll preach right there. Verse 14, "But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred amongst themselves. 'What should we do with these men?' they asked each other. 'We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again.' So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard.' The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of the man who had been lame for more than 40 years." There's so much good stuff in this text. Let's go back to the very top at verse 13. Again, it says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures." Those of you who feel unqualified to do what the Lord has called you to do, listen to this. Peter and John healed this man who had been lame for 40 years in the name of Jesus. A crowd draws because people love to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Peter took it as the perfect opportunity to preach about Jesus. These men were these stuck-up, legalistic, religious men who did not want them preaching as they, what they called their propaganda. But even those men who were against everything that they were doing were amazed at the boldness, and they were amazed because they could see that they were ordinary, that they had no special training in the scripture. Again, those of you who are in a space where you feel I'm unqualified, who am I for the Lord to call to start this business? Who am I to lead this whatever? Who am I to insert whatever the Lord has called you to? Can I offer you another way of thinking based on the scriptures that maybe, just maybe, the reason why the Lord has you in unfamiliar and uncharted territory is because the fact that you are unqualified will allow you to witness better. It will allow you to be that much more effective. It will allow His name to be made greater. Because if you, somebody who hasn't been to seminary, somebody who hasn't been in church your whole life, somebody who doesn't know the Bible front to back, can still be anointed and used by the Lord, then He becomes undeniable because His hands can't be hidden in your qualifications. It's easy to discount God if you have somebody with all the training and background in the world to where it makes sense. They're not ordinary. So it makes sense why they're able to accomplish these things. So somebody could easily credit your education, your experience, your background. But when you're ordinary and you don't have that special training, then that speaks to the goodness of the Lord even more. So you see how funny it is, how the enemy will distort truth and get you to believe a lie that will keep you from being as bold as the Lord has called you to? And I'm talking to myself in a lot of ways. I remember when I first started this podcast and when we first, changed it over to Blessed and Bossed Up, I was confused as to, God, how are you going to use me to talk about you? I didn't grow up in church. I haven't been to seminary. I just read my Bible. I just be praying. I just be spending time with you. How am I going to get on this platform and teach people how to make you the CEO of their business, how to merge faith and business? I feel so unqualified to do that. And then in the state that my business was, God, I don't even have a business for real at this point. I got a couple products. I got this podcast. It's not monetized yet. Advertising really wasn't a big thing at that time. So I was confused as to how these two areas that I've been called to, of faith and business, He was going to use me when I haven't done anything extraordinary in either. But as I look back over the last 8 years, it's the fact that we have documented evidence on this show of how the Lord has blessed millions of individuals, of my own personal growth from day one to today is exponential. How so many people have given their life to the Lord, how so many people through our events, etc., have gotten saved, have rededicated their lives, have come out of lifestyles of sin. On the business side, you guys have seen, if you've been listening from the beginning, and if you haven't, just to give you an update, how I've gone from not really having a business to building a multi-six-figure company, to having multiple businesses, to being secure in my identity as an entrepreneur and established as an entrepreneur and respected as an entrepreneur. That has only come through the interference of the Lord. In this very platform that I was called to be bold on and wanted to shy away from is now documented evidence of growth. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. Growth, not because of me and my background. I didn't have my MBA yet when I first started this podcast. I did not have successful businesses. I didn't have anything other than a little bit of faith. And the Lord has used it in ways that I could never imagine, to where His presence and His hand on this platform is undeniable. And the Lord wants to do the same thing for you. Don't discount His methodology. The Lord has a wonderful way of orchestrating situations to ensure that He gets the glory. Will you let Him? Or will you let fear and the lies of the enemy keep you stagnant? That's why we're discussing this today. We got to talk about holy boldness, because there are many of you that the Lord has called to do great things. Will you boldly step into it? Something else that was so good in this scripture, the last sentence in verse 13 says, they also recognize them as men who have been with Jesus. Boldness is not just you having audacity. It comes as a result of being someone who has truly walked with the Lord. You ever met somebody where you can't tell them nothing about Jesus because they walked with Jesus for so long? Some of you guys who are my older saints that listen to this show, where you've done seen some things in your life. You done seen the Lord show up over and over and over. Your faith is indestructible. Not to say that your humanity doesn't get in the way from time to time, but can nobody pull you away from your Lord and Savior? Because you've seen Him do too much. You've seen miracles, signs, and wonders firsthand. You've seen your own life be transformed firsthand. So when the Lord asks you to do something, you have a certain stature about yourself. Your shoulders are back, your chest are out. You might feel a little self-doubt, but you know how to silence that enough to fully step into whatever the assignment is. That is a posture and a demeanor that is a result of consistent time with Jesus. We talked about a few episodes ago where I was asking questions of the text, but speaking it out loud on the show of, I wonder how Peter got from this point of being this fickle, wishy-washy, audacious person, because he had that audacity from the beginning, but it wasn't holy boldness yet, to being who we see now here in Acts. And the answer to that was and is time with Jesus. You can't be a bold Christian leader, a bold Christian entrepreneur without spending consistent time with Jesus. One of the things that I always tell people to do, because I think the enemy does a great job of trying to make us forget what the Lord has done, is to keep God's track record. It could be a spreadsheet. It could be a document. It can be a note in your phone. It can be a voice memo, whatever works for you. But whenever the Lord comes through in a certain way, document it. Because whenever fear wants to come in, you have to remind yourself of what he's done and how he continues to walk with you. I've had a lot of fear try to creep up on me as of late. I mean, it was so bad that I had to call a friend of mine yesterday. I was like, look, all of these thoughts, they're coming back to back to back. It's like, I don't even have time to take it captive, because once one thing is resolved or dealt with, here comes the other. I'm tired. I'm worn down. Can you pray for me? And we talked for like an hour. I unloaded all the things that was on my mind. She prayed for me and helped me create the space that I needed to fight back the enemy and the thoughts that he was trying to plant. But one of the things that helped me during this time is to keep a track record of what the Lord has done. There was something that came up health-wise for me that made me a little nervous. And I remembered, I thought back to my grandmother, who's a few years ago, this was maybe in 2021, she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung and thyroid cancer. The cancer has spread so far to everywhere in her body. They didn't know where it originated, because cancer is usually diagnosed based upon where it originated. And they couldn't tell. She was fine one day. She started feeling a little off, went to the doctor, got like an x-ray, went to her urgent care, got like an x-ray, and had tumors all in her body. She had no idea. This cancer had metastasized so much that they were like, I need you to leave here and go to the emergency room. Within a week, she was diagnosed with stage 4 thyroid and lung cancer. She was given 3 months to live. 3 months. That happened in 2021. And my grandmother is still walking, talking, tumor shrinking, has no health issues outside of that, needs no care at all. She went from being healthy to being hospitalized, dying, round-the-clock care, to well. And the Lord has extended her life so much. I mean, she babysits my child by herself. Homegirl is good, okay? But I've seen the miracles that he's worked. I had my father-in-law went to Nigeria and he was playing golf. And usually after he plays golf, he gets a massage. He goes to get a massage, and a masseuse that he uses every single time found a lump in his kidney area that hadn't been there before. He comes back home to the States. And he goes to the doctor. They do an x-ray. There's a huge mass inside one of his kidneys. They tell him that he has cancer. He needs to get his kidney removed. And then once they biopsy the tumor, they could tell the stage, prognosis, etc. He gets the kidney removed. They take the tumor to pathology. No cancer. It was a mass there, yes. Non-cancerous though. And I asked him, why did they diagnose it as cancer if it wasn't? He said that the doctor was so sure. He said this is a 95% chance that this is cancer. And I could have fell out in tears, because what they said was a 95% chance that he had cancer, God said that you are healed, that it ain't that. I brought this to your attention so that it can get out your body so it doesn't progress to anything else, but it is not that. I've seen in my business how the Lord has brought things to my attention before they even became a problem. even as soon as the last few weeks. There was something that my business needed that I didn't know about that the Lord just dropped it into my spirit. I had this huge urge to go check on this particular thing. And when I checked on it, I was like, I don't think we have this. And I do all of this research. This could have closed my business. But the Lord brought it to my attention before it was an issue, and it got resolved without no problems, without no interferences. He brought it to my attention to make sure that what we're building continues to stand. I told y'all the story on the first testimony episode about how the Lord orchestrated my steps to go to my business because there was something else I needed that needed to come to my attention. And he made sure that my day was rerouted and my steps were ordered for me to get to that realization and get that solved. So I've seen, and I'm quoting these stories to y'all off the top of my head because they're all stored there and they fuel my boldness for the Lord. So what has God done for you? Those of you who struggle with this level of boldness, what has he done for you? How can him saving you, how can him keeping you, how can him rescuing you result in anything but boldness? What also stood out to me was in verse 18 through 20. Again, it says, so they called the apostles back in. So this is after the religious leaders was like, all right, we're going to speak amongst ourselves. After they do that, they call the apostles back in and they commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Bold obedience trumps any type of cultural approval. It doesn't matter what authority, what culture, what society says. You have to be bold and obedient regardless. And as entrepreneurs, we are operating in a system that doesn't want us to be wholly bold. It wants us to be egotistical, prideful, self-boastful. It doesn't want us to be boasting of the goodness of the Lord. It wants us to boast in our accolades. That's culturally acceptable. Who got the most followers? Who got the most views? Who has the best this, the best that? It's vanity. And so we have to be bold and courageous to consistently operate in a way to where we minimize ourselves and we exalt him. Verse 21 says, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. One of the reasons that we can operate with such holy boldness in business is because the fruit speaks for itself. Nobody could deny the miracle that just happened here. This man was lame for 40 years and now he is healed. They couldn't sit there talking about y'all can't preach about Jesus in the middle of this miracle being observed and people worshiping the Lord. They would have looked crazy. So they had to just let them go. And so when you are operating from a place of boldness, when your boldness is rooted in your proximity to the Lord, the fruit that you produce through him, not through yourself, through him will be so undeniable that even your opposition has to just leave you alone. Is this as good to y'all as it is to me? I'm sure you could tell in my voice how excited I am. But this is just a perfect example of the boldness, holy boldness, in action. And it's one that we can truly glean from as believers and entrepreneurs. Now, we can't talk about boldness without addressing passiveness, because as I was preparing this episode, something that I was thinking was, and I always ask myself, okay, if my point of the show is to get people to operate in holy boldness, what is keeping them from doing that already? And what came to mind when asking myself that question is, I feel like a lot of us hide or try to mask passiveness as humility. It might sound like this. The Lord gives you an assignment or an instruction. You say, oh, I'm just being patient. You heard from him, but I'm just waiting on the Lord, even though he didn't already answer. Or I'm waiting for confirmation. I need confirmation in order for me to do what the Lord has called me to do. Or, well, I don't know if that was me or if that was God. All of these things that sound good on this spiritual surface, but the root of it is fear and passiveness. Let's take a trip to the Old Testament for a second in Numbers. A friend of mine sent me the scripture the other day. She was in her quiet time and she sent it to me and was like, I think this would be useful for your Bible on Business series. She didn't know what I was working on or what this week's episode was going to be, but it fit perfectly. And who's just in Numbers, right? So when I read it and we talked about it, I was like, oh yeah, this fits perfectly with the episode that I'm doing this week. So let's go over to Numbers 30, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 16. The subject says laws concerning vows. Verse 1 says, then Moses summoned the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, this is what the Lord had commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. If a young woman makes a vow to the Lord or a pledge under oath while she is still living at her father's home, and her father hears of the vow or pledge and does not object to it, then all her vows and pledges will stand. But if her father refuses to let her fulfill the vow or pledge on the day he hears of it, then all her vows and pledges will become invalid. The Lord will forgive her because her father would not let her fulfill them. Now, suppose a young woman makes a vow or binds herself with an impulsive pledge and later marries. If her husband learns of her vow or pledge and does not object on the day he hears it, her vows and pledges will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept her vow or impulsive pledge on the day he hears it, he nullifies her commitments and the Lord will forgive her. If, however, a woman is widowed or divorced, she must fulfill all her vows and pledges. But suppose a woman is married and living in her husband's home when she makes a vow or binds herself with a pledge. If her husband hears of it and does not object to it, her vow or pledge will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept it on the day he hears of it, her vow or pledge will be nullified and the Lord will forgive her. So her husband may either confirm or nullify any vows or pledges she makes to deny herself. But if he does not object on the day he hears it, then he agrees to all her vows and pledges. If he waits more than a day and then tries to nullify a vow or pledge, he will be punished for her guilt. These are the regulations the Lord gave Moses concerning relationships between a man and his wife and between a father and a young daughter who still lives at home. I know you may have heard all of that and say, Tatum, well, what are you talking about? What does a husband and a wife or a father and a young daughter who still lives at home, what does any of these vows and pledges, girl, got to do with what you're talking about? Hear me out. Hear the principle. This is simply a lesson on decisiveness. It's given specific rules regarding these specific relationships, but the principle of it all is about decisiveness and how inactiveness or passiveness is still a decision. No decision is still a decision. If the Lord says, hey, I need you to do this, and you're like, oh, I'm going to wait for confirmation, that is you deciding that you're not going to do what the Lord said. I don't care how spiritual you make it sound, it's still disobedience. You having that dream, that vision, you receiving that message and that instruction from the Lord, and you not doing anything with it at all, not even asking for confirmation, but you're just sitting on it, that's still disobedience. Procrastination is still disobedience. Putting something off is still disobedience. Acting like you didn't hear the Lord is still disobedience. No matter how much we try to rationalize or intellectualize, a lack of obeying the Lord, a lack of boldness, that timidity, that shyness, that reservedness when the Lord has called you to step out and do bold things, that is still disobedience. And we have to look at it for exactly what it is, because the enemy will make us feel like we're doing something when we're not. Even chemically, when it comes to our genetic makeup and our bodies and such, you get a dopamine hit once you think about doing something. If you plan to do something, you get a dopamine hit, these feel-good hormones, as if you already did it. Which is so interesting to me, and why so many people, I feel like, make all of these announcements and all of these plans but never complete the task, because they already got the satisfaction without having to do the thing. but that's not going to work spiritually. I don't care if your body gave you that dopamine. Did you do what the Lord said? Were you bold or were you not? It's black and white. It ain't no gray in this life. It is black or white. I want us to go back and talk about disruption for a little bit, because Paul and John disrupted the religious system with what they did, and their bold move was them being disruptors. And as kingdom entrepreneurs, we are disruptors. And I believe that one of the things that keeps us from operating in this holy boldness in business is because a lot of us, sometimes we just don't want to deal with the conflict that comes with being a disruptor. You may be somebody who's on the more non-confrontational side, but conflict is inevitable. But we can look at the Bible and see the result of that conflict. Look at the result of the conflict of the chapter that we read in Acts. The result was they just let them go because the fruit of the Lord was too loud. So it's important to remember that in your holy boldness, you have the victory. Whatever conflict that comes, whether it's internal, external, you have the victory. And as kingdom entrepreneurs, we challenge many of the world's systems as it relates to business. The modern business world prioritizes profit over principle. We could see that acting out in government. We could see that acting out in so many different business lanes. But as kingdom entrepreneurs, we operate off biblical principles over profit, and sometimes at the expense of losing profit in order for us to be in alignment with the Lord. Sometimes we got to lose a little bit, and that's okay. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We challenge the hustle culture of today's world because we are required to prioritize rest. We are required to keep in step, meaning staying in pace with the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to be out here rushing and figuring everything out and moving at the speed of light like the world does. We're not supposed to be out here trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. We're supposed to trust the Lord. We're not supposed to be out here just doing whatever to get ahead and having all of this selfish ambition at the expense of any type of morality. We don't operate that way. We trust the Lord's timing and his direction. And even if that means we get somewhere slower than the next person, then so be it. We just trust that if that was God's will, then there's a reason for it, and that's good enough for us. We challenge the world's perspective of self-idolatry, people building these personal brands, taking the whole thought leadership principle too far, building these brands that simply exalt them. And we see this even, child, we see this even in the Christian space. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. We see this in the Christian space, to where we have people who are building brands and platforms that is just simply self-idolatry with a little bit of CCM sprinkled on top of it. They got a little bit of gospel, a little Christian contemporary music playing and calling it Christ-centered when it's self-centered as I don't know what. They reading scripture and making it about them and not Jesus, and somehow the crowds are going for it. Can't even recognize that the Holy Spirit is nowhere in this. Man, I'm going to deviate for a second. I had a dream years ago that it was a Christian brand that I had followed for quite some time and liked. And the Lord showed me where they were having a conference. And in a dream, I was walking around the venue for the conference. It was so many people in here. And there were so many things going on at this particular conference. And I went into like a kitchen area where the host and another host were preparing the food for the people. And they had all these pans of raw chicken, and they was seasoning them chicken wings up like everything. I'm like, man, if y'all would have just dropped this in the oven, these would have been fire. But they was seasoning this chicken up nice. And then started eating it and tasting it to serve to the people raw. And I was disgusted. But the Lord was showing me what was really happening behind the scenes and what people were really getting served. People think that they're getting these great meals and they're getting fed spiritually, not even knowing that what they're getting fed is uncooked, poisonous, And they have no idea because it's seasoned well, so it probably tastes good, but it's no good for you. But what disturbed me more than the unseasoned chicken was the amount of people that were being served and who were willingly sitting there waiting to be served this foolishness because they just didn't know any better. And that is so prevalent. This self-idolatry is prevalent in the world system and even in a lot of these fake, false Christian systems that are manipulating the gospel in order to play on people's emotions. And I hate it, y'all. I hate it so bad. But I just stay in my word and I just pray. It ain't for me to make no videos on or to share with the dreams the Lord give me unless he tell me to. And he hasn't yet. So I just pray. But a part of our boldness is to reject that self-idolatry. And I believe that, and I have enough compassion for people where I don't believe that you get into that space on purpose. I believe that so many people start off pure. They start off well. They start off with this holy boldness. But somewhere along the line, they took the bait of Satan. But nevertheless, we're supposed to challenge that with our holy boldness. And there's going to be conflict, especially when you deal with the Christian part, the Christians that are off. There's going to be conflict, but that's where our boldness comes in. And that's just a few examples. I think I gave you 3 out of 6 that I had written in my notes that we have to keep in mind that we're going to, these systems we're going to disrupt as business owners, as kingdom entrepreneurs, the same way Peter and John were disrupting the religious system by preaching about Jesus, by performing miracles in his name. Can I ask you a question while we're talking about disruption? What system is God calling you to challenge? Have you been avoiding it? Has the fear of going into a secular space and preaching the gospel kept you from operating in holy boldness? Has the fact that you proclaiming your faith isn't because it isn't the norm, or isn't as readily accepted as other things, has that caused you to shrink when you have been called to stand out? I'm just asking a question. Something to pray about. So now we got a good idea of what holy boldness is. We've seen how it has played out in the text. We see what it is not, as in it is not passiveness, it's not procrastination, it's not inactivity. Because those things are still disobedience, which is not being bold. We talked about how our boldness will lead us into being disruptors. The last thing I want to address before we close out is I want to address pride and ego for a second. Because sometimes I feel like we can misconstrue boldness with being loud, with being boisterous, with being prideful. And it's not that either. Remember, boldness is a byproduct of your proximity to the Lord, not how loud you could be, not how much you could poke your chest out. It's not about your audacity. It is a byproduct of your proximity to the Lord. And so I just want to give you some differences because I feel like even in our good intentions to be bold, sometimes we can move to the fleshly version of being bold versus holy boldness. So I want to make sure that we're clear on what these differences are and how to discern where our boldness is coming from so that we are not trying to mask our pride and call it holy boldness. So again, boldness is obedience rooted in faith. Pride is self-glorification and it's rooted in rebellion. And ego is just simply insecurity disguised as confidence. That's all it is. The fruit of holy boldness is obedience, it's confidence, confidence in the Lord, not just in yourself, and it's God glorifying, it exalts him. Pride, on the other hand, the fruit of that is resistance to correction, self-glory. A lot of what we talked about we see in the Christian space is not holy boldness, it's pride. And ego, the fruit of that is overreaction and performance addiction, because you always need that hit. You always need that ego boost. So if you're exhibiting resistance to correction, self-glory, then you have a pride problem. You're not operating in holy boldness. If you are overreacting and you are addicted to performance, all of us who like to accumulate trophies because of our own trauma has made us overachievers. That's ego. So if these are the fruit that you're exhibiting, then this is something for you to take to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, one, and then two, in your closeness to him, ask him to renew your mind and renew your heart so that you can operate in true holy boldness and not pride or ego. I'm going to wrap this episode up here. I believe I accomplished what I set out to accomplish, which is to encourage you to operate in holy boldness, to describe to you what holy boldness is and how it's powerful. I pray that you have a realization of it, that you're able to recognize ways in which you may not be operating in it. And most importantly, I pray that through listening to this episode, you have a renewed commitment to operate in holy boldness, not just in your business, but in your life as well. I pray that you understand that, one, intimacy with God is what truly births boldness. So the how to any of this is to get closer to the Lord. I pray that you are moved to obey what the Lord said before you're understood by anybody else or before you understand yourself. I pray that you just say yes simply because he says so. I pray that if boldness is something that you struggle with, that this week you start small, that you surround yourself with people that's going to tell you the truth so that they can encourage you to operate in that boldness. And I pray that if you struggle with obedience and doing what the Lord says, that you are not just viewing it as something that's taking you out your comfort zone or something that's challenging you or making you feel insecure. I pray that you look at it as an opportunity to worship the one who called you. Because remember, in our anchored text, the religious leaders were amazed at Peter and John because they knew they were ordinary. And them being unqualified made room for his name to be made great. So thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Share this with anybody who needs that push into holy boldness. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.